but I think we're joined by Justin Bahunga. Are you there, sir?
I am, sir.
Well, Justin, thank you very, very much. You are with an organization of opposition parties. I think it's called the P5.
Yes.
And you are, these are, I should say clearly, Rwandan opposition parties. They are multi-ethnic. They are Tutsi, Hutu, Twa. They have different political alignments, but they have combined in their call for the removal of the undemocratic regime of Rwanda and for its replacement by a truly democratic order. Is that right?
Very correct.
Yeah. And there's two topics I want to make sure I talk to you about today. The first one is that there is some an organization that is meeting, right now, that with it's called the Mo Ibrahim Governance, and the leader of that organization is and others are meeting in Kigali, Rwanda, with President Paul Kagame. What is your objection to that?
Our objection is that Rwanda is not the best place to have such a meeting, which is celebrating one leaders who have respected their terms of office, and two, people have led their country to a successful transition from one person to another, but also a country where there is respect for human rights. And Rwanda is the wrong place for that.
Mm-hmm. Give us some examples. I understand. Would we on this program have talked to the families of Victoire Ingabire? She was a presidential candidate. She's been how many years in prison?
Yes. Ingabire, and exactly the other point I wanted to make is that having a lady coming to Rwanda is exactly ironical, because Victoire Ingabire Umuhoza, who is the president of FDU Inkingi Party, went to Rwanda to stand in election in 2010 against President Kagame. Mm-hmm. And because she was a serious contender, the president, in his utterances, where he said in the Monitor newspaper to a journalist that those who want to impose a person like Ingabire have to wait for long, because he had to be where she belongs. And when you hear a dictator saying that, it means a prison. And indeed, immediately after, she was arrested. She was sentenced to 8 years imprisonment in the lower court. And strangely, when she appeared to the High Court, Supreme Court, it was almost doubled, 15 years. Mm-hmm. And this, what also have to be mentioned, is that this trial is being considered by the EU Parliament as an unfair trial, which didn't meet international standards. And she appealed the African Court for People's and Human Rights, Human People's Rights. And this court even ruled that her right for defense was not respected and actually asked for reparations. So despite all that, despite all that had gone through, so this lady is what tried to sit with the president, was put in jail. And recently, 2017, another young lady, Diana Rwigara, tried to stand for elections. But now she's in jail, not only herself, but also with her mom. Mm-hmm.
And their property has been, my understanding, they took some of their property away and as well.
Exactly. Actually, again, the same way as the word of the president is followed by arrest. On the 30th of August, when a ceremony was signing again the prime minister, the president said that people who evade tax, and if there they were stood and lost to become a candidate, the Minister of Justice has to follow them up. And he said, I hope you understand what I mean. And what followed was arrested, but then it was changed later. It was no tax evasion. It was that she was allegedly got signatures from dead people. And you can imagine how someone can get signatures from dead people. And of course, for the tax evasion, her mom was the one who was picked. Mm-hmm. And she was also picked for tax evasion. But secondly, for sectarianism, what she had said, that what the government agents are doing is even worse than what Interaham were doing. Now mm-hmm. she's in jail.
Mm-hmm. This is Justin Bahunga of the Policy Commission of the P5, the five opposition parties, and the organization that's in Rwanda with Kagame. And you must be very disappointed in them. I hope you directed a correspondence to them. It's the Mo Ibrahim Governance organization.
Exactly. And I think I would like to add something, sorry to interrupt. So I said that actually, if the United States, as you know, is the chief ally, the key ally of the Rwandan government, in its latest report of 2017, accuses the government of Rwanda of so many crimes, actually such gross violations of human rights, including persecution of opposition party members, of arbitrary and lawful killings, torture, harassment, arrest, abuse of political opponents, human rights advocates, and also, and importantly, that restriction of civil liberties in such a way that Rwandans now have no ability to change their government through fair and free elections. Very serious allegation from a key ally.
Yeah, and that is, of course, the dilemma that faced is that Western states have attached themselves to the Kagame leadership, and they really ignore the evidence that you're presenting, including the, you know, unfortunately, the personal stories of people who lose family members. I want to mention a lawyer. His name is Donat Mutunzi. Was arrested, I believe, on the 13th of this month. His family asked the authorities, is it true he's been arrested? They said, no, we have no information. He's not with, we don't have him. And then on the 22nd of April, about 2 weeks later, they announced that, yes, he has been in their custody but has committed suicide. What does that tell us? And do you know anything about this lawyer?
I know this lawyer, but actually I think I want to make one point very clear, that what you have seen with this lawyer is a part of a pattern. So I don't like people to think that it is a one-off incident. It's a part of a system of control. Mm-hmm. And there are so many people who had happened to, and just that he is a prominent person. I'll give you an example. There's another person who was arrested on the 7th of April this year, allegedly for minimizing genocide. And on the 19th of this month, it said that he was shot while he was trying to flee.
Uh-huh.
And of course, the second point I want to make, like so many others, I can mention just a few. There is another member of FDU in India who was a lady who was kidnapped on her way to work on the 26th of March 2016. She was never seen again. But the relatives do tell us that they have information that she could be dead already under torture. Mm-hmm. And there is also another case of the personal doctor of President Kagame, a cardiologist. He was shot at the police station in 2014, allegedly because he was in a scuffle with a policeman. Imagine now a doctor at the police station trying to fight a policeman to get a gun from him. Hmm. Again, something which is just unbelievable. And also, and that again, another one is being on the 30th of June 2014, a minister said that 30,000 convicts of what you call community services were missing. Nobody knows where they are. But also that the same in June also said, and the Minister of Home Office by then was Musoni, that 16,000 people were missing from Mogoro region. Mm-hmm. And also you know that there was this another case in August of 40 bodies which are floating in Rweru Lake between Rwanda and Burundi. So disappearances, killings, not something very new, is a part of a pattern. And I would, if you wanted to, I would just say what I think is the main reason as a part of the of control.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I just, you might, I'm sure you know, this the book of the Pedagogy of the Oppressed, and written by Paulo Freire, that part of the control is two stages. One, use of violence. That groups live with the knowledge that they must be, they can fear random and provoked attacks, personal property attacks. And the second structure they do, which actually is being done now, but the second is indoctrination, which is done by Nairobi schools in Rwanda, where the system tries to create, make people have negative images of themselves in such a way that at the end, they confess what they have not done, develop what they call Stockholm Syndrome. And indeed, when you see now, for instance, the Hutus, they are almost to believe, it's not to say some Hutus have committed genocide. They create an impression that all Hutus are killers.
Mm-hmm.
And this creates a situation where you lose your own self-esteem. And I'll give an example. Recently, there was the former minister of defense, very powerful, of foreign affairs and education, very powerful minister during Habyarimana's time, was heard saying this month that why don't we become good Hutus for Kagame? He's not only Hutu, but they are his property. Please try to be good Hutus for President Kagame. And that's where this group has been said to internalize negative self images, and that's part of the control.
Mm-hmm.
So one is violence, secondly is indoctrination, and also create this kind of a sense of powerlessness in the people. And that's why you can see now in 11 million people, no one feels capable of representing the person of the president.
Mm-hmm.
So as I was saying, this what is happening is a part of a culture which actually, again, the Center for International Strategic Studies said actually that the government of Rwanda has shown it is incapable of ruling without resorting to violence or coercion.
Mm-hmm. This is Justin Bahunga. He's with the Policy Commission of the Five Parties. On that point, my memory is that 2 years ago, the president, Paul Kagame, gave a speech in which he said Hutus should find Tutsi to apologize when they see them. They should apologize. He was speaking, of course, there are children who weren't even born in 1994 when the events happened. And I want to ask your thoughts on this. It's very strange that he would say such a thing when, in the name of reconciliation, he is claiming there is no ethnic differences at all in the country anymore. Everyone is a Rwandan. So if everyone is a Rwandan, why do some of them have to go and apologize to the other ones?
Absolutely. You can't be more right. Why do you think people say there's no ethnicity in Rwanda? Then you identify a group as killers. And that's why we as five political parties, we include Hutus. If we don't have survivors of genocide in organization, because what we are seeing is actually a situation where we are moving towards another disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole point is actually the whole point of what I was saying is creating negative images of the self among the Hutus.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, the history has shown that you find the only way to get off this image is to fight back.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want war. So we are actually at the position, we are helping to ensure that what happened doesn't happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we are also against the foreign intervention or the foreign support. Because you look at Rwandan history, their problem has not been what they call the congenital hatred between the Hutu and Tutsi. It is due to the fact that there were grievances, social exclusion, but the exclusion is patterned along ethnic lines. So the elite would use the grievances around ethnicity to galvanize support. And these foreigners have, instead of trying to help, they have contributed to this situation by supporting the repressive regimes.
Yes.
What is happening now is exactly the same thing they are doing of supporting a system which they know for sure is going to cause a problem. And then it makes me come to the point made actually by the UN reporter about Rwanda. And his fears was that and this situation as it is, it can only lead to another disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was very clear about what's happening in Rwanda,
mm-hmm.
saying that unless something is done, a society without room for critical voice to speak freely and peacefully is unsustainable, adding that the fear of a new genocide cannot be invoked to impede the fundamental freedom in any society, which in fact are necessary to prevent conflicts and genocide. And that's what we want to prevent. So we are very concerned that those internal support is contributing to a situation where we can go back to what has happened before, conflict or genocide, even worse than that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, of course, the problem is that if you have basically two paths, the one that offered by a narrowly based military government and which is using a tyrannical kind of a definition of the population, and then you have organizations such as yours, which are multi-ethnic and made up actually of different political persuasions, not just one, but of you have all kinds of elements who are, make up the five parties. Obviously, that is the road. I wish that organizations like the Mo Ibrahim governance would pay attention. There is some sign in Paris, London, and Washington that the reality is being acknowledged. I want to ask your opinion of this book by Judy Reaver, the title doesn't come to mind, but Judy Reaver is a Canadian author. We had her on this show. And have you seen that book, and what do you think of it?
I think it is very fortunate that it has come, because even though some of the things we know ourselves, it is, suppose I'm an opposition, perhaps a Hutu, it would be very hard for anyone else to convince him that I think it could happen. Although even you have got now Tutsis who think that actually things have to change, you have to recognize that Hutu died, Hutu were killed, and therefore there can be no reconciliation without acknowledging that one part of the population was killed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Hutus. And by the way, that one of the accusations against our party president, Ingabire Umuhoza, is that she said, those Hutus who have committed genocide against Tutsis have to accept to be punished, but also those who killed Hutus must account for it, because we have national reconciliation. People have to accept each other's suffering. And that's very crucial. And that's what actually our platform is about. People from different, we have people who are the RPF, who are very senior, who are survivors of genocide, worked under Habyarimana, who have never been in a political party, saying actually we have to stop. The only way forward is acknowledging that. And so I think very wholeheartedly that Judy has been able to help us bring to light and probably one will be more credible than if I would have been trying to do it as an opposition party and also as a Hutu. Mm-hmm. So I think that is quite important. But we hope that actually those governments who are supporting a system that leading us abyss should change their mind and support the forces that want to end the conditions that have always led to conflict in Rwanda, which is social exclusion, political exclusion, which is there now. Mm-hmm. If you look at every institution, the army, 99% are Tutsis, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Economic power is in the hands of one group. And by the way, there's a study which was done by UCLA, led by Professor Wima, saying that actually Rwanda is the most excluded country in the world after Syria and Eritrea.
Say that again. What kind of country is it? It's the most what?
Rwanda is the most excluded, and where there is a social exclusion.
Mm-hmm.
It comes after on Eritrea, Syria, and Sudan.
And
it's saying that when there is a study which shows that when you have got a certain Rwanda where 80% of the population is excluded, you are likely to have a civil war. So Rwanda is a country at risk now because of extreme inequalities, patterned along with ethnic lines. If it was across board, is bad. But when it is patterned along with ethnic lines, the result is just tension. So we are asking people, especially those who give money, help the political forces that want to remove the conditions that have always led to cycle of conflict in Rwanda, to remove them.
Yeah. Well, Justin, thank you very, very much. It's been good to talk to you. It's Justin Buhunga, and he's from the Policy Commission of the Five Parties. By the way,
Diplomacy Commission. Correct, yes.
Thank you for the precision. And by the way, is there a site? I don't have it written down. Is there some place people can go to follow on the Internet your views?
Yes. We have every political organization on the list has got its own website, but we are soon having one common one, trying to have that. Because we have commission that we share, diplomacy commission, we share it, and the strategy commission is we share it. So again, if you either you can look at in all the what the five have got website, but also we are having one which is shared by all of us, by which is made by the Commissioner for Communications.
Good. Well, I appreciate it very much, and we'll post that on our site as well. Justin Buhunga, thank you very, very much for being our guest.
It means to me to thank you. Thank you for helping us actually bring to the attention of the international community that should not again say we never knew. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.